doesn't that just make you happy seeing that?
I mean, doesn't that just make you happy? You know, part of our fall growth campaign is that we are going to bless people. Amen, church? We're going to bless people. And our life groups, what they're doing, they're coming together and they're going to be packing these Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes. And you ready for this? They're going to go all across the world. And each of those shoeboxes, they're going to have toys and stuff like that in it. But what's really cool is it's going to have the gospel in it as well. Isn't that great? In their language. Isn't that wonderful? And, you know, our groups, part of our fall growth campaign is that we just don't want this to be about us. We don't want to just have a big crowd. We want to return that and to bless it out, right, life community? And to bless it out and to give. And that's exactly what we're going to do. And you know, there are some competitive people in this church, right? No? No? Maybe not? Yeah, I thought there was. And so what better way to be competitive than how many life groups can make, more Operation Christmas Child boxes than the other one? Whose group's going to win, by the way? You know, oh, okay, there we go. You got it. But we're going to do this and we're going to bless people all across the world. As we talk today about the Holy Spirit and what God is doing and how He's moving in us, I couldn't think of a better way to introduce this Operation Christmas Child component of our campaign than to talk about the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to you, because these children are going to be getting these amazing gifts, and particularly the Bible and things like that, that goes into their native languages, which is pretty cool. But gifts are awesome. I like a good gift. I do. I like a good gift. I like a good birthday gift. I like a good Christmas gift. I have kind of a list of just the best gifts I've ever gotten. You've heard me tell you some of those. Let me tell you about another one. When I was 6 years old, my dad bought brand new a 1988 blue Pontiac Firebird with T-tops. 6 years old, okay? And we rode in that thing. He used to take the T-tops out. Man, we were awesome going that. Well, I turned 16. Guess what dad gave me? Oh, yeah, the Firebird. Yeah. And now, it didn't look as shiny as it did when my dad had it, all right? And it leaked water. The seats were bad. I scoured every junkyard in Owensboro. I got little tire cap covers. I got it reupholstered. We put a new engine block in it. I mean, the whole nine yards. And actually, I loved it so much, I had it painted plum crazy purple. And I had, on an 88 Firebird, right? And I had a black matched racing stripe right down the middle of that thing. And it was the bomb diggity, I'm telling you. It was awesome. I loved my car. And, you know, I did all this work on it and all that fun stuff. Mark Rowe, he remembers riding in the purple Pontiac Firebird. He remembers that. And it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. But the thing about my car, I poured all this money into it. It was a gift. It was an awesome gift, so I made sure that it was shiny. It looked good. I did something back then that I never do now, which is like wash and clean it and all that stuff, you know. Kids change everything, don't they, you know. And I used to do that with my Firebird, but not anymore. But anyway, I used to do all that stuff. And the thing is, when I got that new engine block in it and I got, it all shined up, slicked up, looking good, I didn't do all that work and that paint job on that for it to sit in the driveway. Mm-mm. I tore up those back roads of the western part of the county is what I did with that car. I shouldn't tell you that, but I did. Don't tell my folks, but I did, all right? And I had a good time with that car. But that gift that I was given, when my dad gave me that gift, it was intended to be used. It was intended to go forward, and it was intended to do to get me from point A to point B. God rest its soul. It's no longer with us today. But God, wherever Birdie may be, may the Lord take care of her today. But it was a great gift that I had, and I loved it. And, you know, what we're seeing today is that the Holy Spirit is a gift. When we give our lives to Jesus Christ and He comes into our hearts, we receive the gift. If you got your sermon notes, follow along. I want you to see this, that when a person believes in Christ, they receive the Holy Spirit. Now, we talked about that last week. When you accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you are forgiven of your past, given a brand new future, but yet God Himself comes and lives inside of us. The Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. And that's a great promise that we have today, that we have God walking with us and giving us power in our lives. Likewise, I want you to follow along and look at this one. The Holy Spirit moves us into action through the giving of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit moves us into action through the giving of spiritual gifts. Now, what we're going to talk about today is understanding that when the Lord comes into your life and He saves you, He gives you the Holy Spirit, and He also puts spiritual gifts into your life. There's a really powerful section of Scripture that I want us to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It starts in verse 1, and it says this, "Now concerning what comes from the Spirit, brothers, I don't want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you used to be led off to the idols that could not speak. Therefore, I am informing you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God activates each gift in each person. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person to produce what is beneficial. To one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit, to another a message of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the performing of miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another different kinds of languages, to another interpretation of languages. But one and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each person as He wills." Verse 12. "For as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. So the body is not one part, but many." Father, may You bless the Word today. Teach us about spiritual gifts. We pray in Your name. Amen. So Paul is writing to the church at the church in 1 Corinthians, and he basically is telling them that they need to understand spiritual things. They need to understand how God moves and does stuff on the inside of us. By the way, if we're ever going to have a movement of God, you have to understand that you are going to be part of that. God will not move unless He moves through you. Now, that's how He's chosen to do that. That's how the Lord has determined for things to happen. He moves through what we call the church. And we are the church today. Now, you can have all kinds of ideas and strategies and methods and things like that, but if you don't have the Spirit of God, it won't take you very far. For example, the disciples had walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. They had walked with Him, heard His teachings. They heard His strategy. They were to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. They were supposed to do all this. But yet when Jesus died and rose again, He told them to do what? To wait in Jerusalem. Not to do it yet. He said, don't go out preaching yet. Wait till the Holy Spirit comes. And sure enough, when Jesus ascended into heaven, that's exactly what they did. They were gathered together at that room, and the Spirit came and filled them. And then they went and did great works and great movements and great things of God. But they had to have the Spirit in them before they were allowed to go out and do something. Now, what's different about us is that, as we've already identified, when we give our lives to Jesus, when we give our hearts to Jesus, we are given the Spirit at the moment of belief. We're a little bit different than the apostles. We receive the Spirit the moment we accept Jesus as our Savior. And the Holy Spirit is here to live inside of us and to help us to walk very close to Jesus. And Paul tells us that when we receive the Spirit, He gives us these spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. Now, and these gifts are intended to be used for the Lord. Now, some of you all are saying today, well, Kenny, I could never be used of God. I mean, I'm a normal person with a normal job. I've never done anything really exciting or anything out of the box. I mean, how could God use me? Same way He used those apostles. They were fishermen, tax collectors, everyday people. But when the Spirit came on them, everything changed. Today, I believe that God could send a great revival in this community. And I believe that He sends it through who? Through you today. That God can use you in a powerful way to transform the community in a better way for Jesus Christ. And He'll use you. That's how He chooses to do that. But we have to understand that when we give our lives to Jesus, that we are gifted with spiritual gifts. And they are to be used. Birdie was not intended to sit in my driveway. My mom may have liked that a little bit more, but Birdie was intended to go. Likewise, with whatever the Lord has put into your life, you ready for this? God intends you to what? To use it and to go. To use whatever the Lord has given you to go forward and to use that for the glory of God. And when you do that, guess what happens? Movement happens. See, we can't just pray for God to move and just sit here and do nothing. We pray for God to move and we say, Lord, here I am. Send me. Use my gifts. Use what's inside of me, what you gave me when I accepted Jesus to go forward. So today, the Holy Spirit has given you spiritual gifts for you to use. So I ask you a question. Are you using what God has given you? Are you using today what the Holy Spirit put into your life when you accepted Jesus? Are you using what He's given you today? Isn't accepting Jesus awesome? Forgiveness of sins, a future, heaven, but yet the Spirit comes in us as well and then gifts us to do stuff? I mean, it's the whole kit and caboodle when you give your life to Jesus. It's pretty awesome. But we must understand our spiritual gifts. Let's look at what Paul is teaching us today from the book of 1 Corinthians. I want you to see three things about spiritual gifts that you have in your life today if you know Jesus Christ. First, I want you to see this, that my spiritual gifts, listen, are from God and are powered by God. Now, look what Paul says in verse 4. He says, now there are different gifts, but the same what? Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God. I had you like for 2 out of 3. Not bad, right? Right? The same God who activates each gift in each person. So Paul says that there's all kinds of stuff that needs to be done for the Lord. There are all kinds of ministries. All kinds of things that need to be happening. And the whole Trinity of God is involved. The Spirit gives you a gift. The Lord Jesus gives you a ministry, which is an ongoing use of your gifts. And the Father is giving us activities to fill those events with. And so the Trinity of God is moving and has put stuff in you to have a ministry. Well, Kenny, I thought ministry was what you did. I thought that you were the minister, right? And who's been through class 101? Anybody? You know, it's funny. In class 101, we have a little saying that we say that the pastors are the administrators, meaning that we are called to administer in the church and to oversee the church and to lead the church. But the people are the what? The people are the ministers. And we don't like that. We'd much rather for the pastor to do what? Everything, right? Right? But that's not what God has intended for it to be like. We are all to have a ministry. We are all to have some sort of spiritual gifting that we use for the Lord. Now, I want you to understand something, that God is the giver of these gifts. God is the giver of ministries. God is the giver of activities. He does all of this. But you need to understand something about spiritual gifts. You ready? They are not the same as a natural ability. Now, that's hard for us to wrap our brains around, okay? But a spiritual gift is not the same thing as a natural ability. Can you use a natural ability for God? Sure you can. There are some people on this stage that are naturally gifted at drums and guitars and keyboards, and they're using that for the Lord. But spiritual gifts are a little bit different. Spiritual gifts are only found in those who know Jesus Christ. If you don't know the Lord, you don't have a spiritual gift because the Spirit is not inside of you. Spiritual gifts go beyond the natural. For example, a person may be very weak to preach. But something happens, they surrender their life to the Lord, and what happens next? They are a strong preacher for the gospel. Or perhaps they're a good guitar player, but yet they're now gifted from being a performer and gifted to be a leader of worship. You know, there's a difference. Do you guys know that? There's a difference. A performer entertains you. A worship leader leads you close to God. Big difference. So spiritual gifts are to glorify God. They are put inside of us to give glory back to the Lord. Let me help you understand this a little bit more. One of my heroes of the faith is a guy by the name of Billy Sunday. Anybody ever heard of Billy Sunday? Probably not. That's okay. I'm going to tell you about him anyway. How about that? Billy Sunday was a great evangelist in the 1920s. I mean, he was like a rip-roaring, rocking roller coaster preacher. I mean, he would like preach doing this kind of stuff and jumping on top of stuff. Just, I love that. You know what I mean? I really like that a lot. I like that style. It's good, okay? And Billy Sunday was moving and grooving and all this kind of stuff. He won all kinds of people to Jesus. Some would say that Billy Sunday was even influential in the life of who? Billy Graham, if you follow the line down of people that accepted Jesus. Sunday was a powerful, powerful preacher. But do you know what his natural ability was? It was not preaching. You know what it was? He's a baseball player. In the late 1800s, he was known for stealing bases for the Chicago White Sox. He wasn't a very good pitch hitter. He wasn't a very good pitcher or hitter, but he was awesome at running. And you would think, well, this guy, when he gave his life to Jesus, he would be out there as a pro athlete, swinging his bat, leading people to Jesus through that way, right? Not Billy Sunday. When he gave his life to Jesus and God came into his heart, you know what happened? He gave up baseball and he started preaching. Well, why did he do that? Because when he accepted Jesus, a spiritual gift was put inside of him to preach that led thousands to Jesus. So understand this, that your natural ability is not the same thing as your spiritual gift. Well, Kenny, how do I get this spiritual gift? Well, the Bible says that it is God who activates it. It's empowered by the Lord. The power of God is the one who gives you this spiritual gift. Well, Kenny, how do I get the spiritual gift? You ready? You got to get Jesus first. If you don't have the Lord in your life, you have no spiritual gifting today. You are empty. You're lost. Today, you need to make a declaration that you admit that you're a sinner, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, and you choose to follow Christ. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man opens the door, I will come in. Today, you have no spirituality about you unless you first have Jesus. You've got to open your heart and allow Jesus to come into your life. And when you let Christ in your life, he gives you the Spirit of God. And he puts spiritual gifts for inside of you to do great things of the Lord. Well, let's learn a little bit more. I want you to see this about spiritual gifts. That my spiritual gifts might be different than yours. But all believers have gifts. Well, Kenny, I've been a Christian for X amount of time. I don't believe the Lord has gifted me to do anything. Well, guess what? You're wrong. You're wrong. And the Bible says that you have gifts about you. You just have to understand how to discover your spiritual gifts. You have to understand how the Lord is using you. Look what it says in verse 7. Paul says, a demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person to produce what is beneficial. Now, he lists some gifts there, but let's jump down to verse 11. And he says, but one and the same Spirit is active in all of these, distributing to each person as he wills. So Paul says that a demonstration of the Spirit is given to who? To each person. The Bible is clear that if you trust in Jesus, you receive a spiritual gift. And it's to produce what? Something that's beneficial. Now, some translations will take the word demonstration and they use it's appropriate, but the word manifestation, that the Spirit is manifesting himself, making himself known through your spiritual gift. Now, sometimes when you think of the Spirit manifesting, you sometimes get kind of creeped out a little bit. You know, is the people going to be like rolling on the floors, you know, barking like dogs in the name of Jesus? I mean, what is all of this stuff? Well, you've got to look at it in context. And in context, the spiritual gifts, the manifestation and the demonstration that the Spirit's in you is not in these ecstatic movements and things like that, but what is it in? It's in these gifts that come out of you to help people. You know, if you did the study last week, there was this powerful testimony about a guy who gave his life to Jesus on the video, and these ladies handed him these gospel tracts, and he just took them and wadded them up and threw them back in her face, and she just stood there and smiled. And I told the group I was in, I said, guys, the Spirit of God, if you want to see how the Holy Spirit's manifested, you hand somebody something and they rip it up and throw it in your face and you smile back at them with love. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy. I'd much rather see that type of manifestation than people jumping up and down and running around. Now listen, I ain't against you getting a little excited, all right? That's okay. Don't misread me. But I'm just saying that the manifestation of the Spirit comes through this way. Likewise, Paul says that it is God who distributes to each person as he will. So guess who gets to pick what gift you get? Who is it? The Lord. The Lord does that. And you look at that list, he says wisdom, message of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, performing miracles, prophecy, which is also known as preaching, distinguishing spirits, or which is discernment, ability to speak another language, interpret other languages, things like that. And that's just one list of many in the Bible. For example, Romans 12 has a list, 1 Corinthians 12, this is a list here, Ephesians 4 has a list, 1 Peter 4, they're all over. So how do you discover the gifts? Do a little Bible study, read them, and then search your spirit and see which one you have. Now, some of you all are thinking, well, Kenny, my gift just ain't as good as my neighbor's gift. I'm so sad. See, you know what you're suffering from today? Gift envy is what you're suffering from today. Gift envy. And let me just tell you this really quick, is that it doesn't matter what your friend is gifted with. It just matters what you're gifted with. Because listen, whatever God has given you is to be used by you for the kingdom of God to lead people to Jesus. What you have is special and unique. Don't compare yourself to other people. Oh, I could really make a difference if I could preach. But you know what? The person that distributes love and the grace of God at the grocery store and letting that kindness come through them, you know they're preaching a sermon too. They're preaching a sermon too. Just letting what the Spirit has put in you. You know what? I would love to get up here and sing with Taryn. But you all would not like that. Do you know why? Because I'm not gifted that way. It would be bad. Understand that everybody has a unique gift. And whatever it is you have is what God wants you to have. Rejoice in it. Praise the Lord. Now listen. My spiritual gifts. Next slide there. My spiritual gifts work together with your spiritual gifts to build the church. Now, did you know that? Paul continues to write on. If you have a home and Bible, sometimes they'll separate this passage from the others, but they're right there together. How do you know that? Because it starts with the word for, which means that you should read up ahead of that because it's connected. For means because of. So you see in verse 12, for or because, as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit and in one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. So the body is not one, but many parts. So Paul says you've all got a gift. They're from God. They're powered by God. But they're all different, and they should be different, because when you put them all together, it does something pretty cool. Now, the problem, if everybody in here was gifted to preach, you'd have a hard time getting into this pulpit, because I'm not going to let you have it every Sunday. Really. God has called me to preach and to shepherd this church and to lead this church. That's what he's called me to do. So with me saying that, if God has called you to preach, find a church to pastor. You know, not hard. That's okay, by the way. I would love to be able to raise up preacher boys and send them out. Wouldn't that be a good thing? I mean, I'm serious. I'd love to be able to raise up church planters and send out families to go start churches in New York City and on Indian reservations and stuff like that. Wouldn't that be cool? But now, in the body, not everybody's going to be the preacher. That's okay. But some of y'all are going to be gifted with other stuff, working with kids. Some of y'all are going to be encouragers. You're going to bring wisdom to the table. You're going to bring discernment to the table. All kinds of neat stuff. And it all works together. Now, the great temptation is this, is that we want to operate independently of the church with our spiritual gifts. That's a huge temptation that happens. You say things like this: I don't care what the vision of the church is. I'm going to do my own thing. Be careful with that. Right, church? Because it's not building the team unity. Be careful. Some may say, well, I'll just use my gifts outside the church, but I refuse to be a member of the church. Big problem in the scripture. Because Paul says that they're given for what? For us to be together. Huge problem. I'm not against itinerant preaching or anything like that. I traveled as an evangelist, but the entire time that I did that, I was connected to a local church. Does that make sense? I was connected to a local church. These guys that want to come around and preach or sing concerts and stuff, and you ask them, well, what church do you go to? Well, we go to all churches. You know what that tells me? You don't go nowhere. I'm serious about that. I believe the connection to the local body is that important. That important. I understand that some will also say, well, I don't really care about the media ministry or the kids ministry or the life group ministry because I got this. So if it all blows up and goes sour, it's okay as long as mine doesn't go sour. That's awful to think about. Because we're in it together, right? You know, it's in it together. If Chris and Tanner are like about to pull their hair out and saying, man, this is awful, everything's going south, we should care about them. We should care about them. Chris be pulling his beard out, you know? He said, give me some help over here. And we'll say, we're going to help you because we care about your ministry. Some people are saying, I just don't, the Spirit's in me, but I still haven't found it, Kenny. Well, listen, just start serving. And start serving with people that are different than you. And you know what will happen? You will discover your gift. It may not be preaching. It may not be in a vocal type position. It might be behind the scenes. But I'm telling you, you read the later on through this, Paul says that the parts of the body that you can't see are some of the most important. Hey, listen. You see my big old honking head every Sunday. Did you know that? But did you know if I didn't have my heart inside of me, I'd be deader than a doornail? But my heart doesn't get a whole lot of attention on Sunday mornings, does it? But without it, I would cripple. Likewise, there are people in this church that are doing things that you have no clue what they're doing. And God has just blessed them and blessed us with them. And if they were to be removed, it would be like pulling out a kidney or a lung. Be a serious problem. If you want to discover what spiritual gifts you have, please be part of a local church. And just start serving. You'll find out. By the way, next week is our next 101 class. So if you're praying about church membership and being part of the church, or just like to figure out what life community is about, come next week at our ministry center. The information's in the program. Come next week. But what I'm seeing happening is this, is that as the Spirit of God moves us and brings movement, he's going to move us to do stuff with our spiritual gift. And the whole theme of power source is that the Spirit's the power. Have you ever been without power before? Can I remind you of the ice storm? Yeah, there you go. Awful, wasn't it? I was ministering at my previous church when the ice storm hit in Ohio County. And awful, just like you guys had up here in Davis County. It was bad. The power was out. It was awful. But I remember that Sunday came around, and some guys called me, some deacons of the church called me, and they said, Kenny, should we, you know, I guess we need to cancel service today. And I said, no, not at all. Ask my wife. It takes God writing on the wall for me to cancel a service. And they said, what do you mean we have no power? It's freezing cold. I said, so? Well, how are we going to sing? How are you going to preach? I said, who said anything about singing and preaching? And they looked at me kind of like I was kind of wacko. I said, man, we're going to have a service. We're going to serve the community today. So we called everybody that had deep freezes that had no power and all that meat was going to go bad. And we called every redneck in Ohio County that had a grill. And there's a bunch of them. And we brought grills to the parking lot of that church. We dug out everything, I mean literally everything that you can imagine in 100 kills, we brought it out. And they grilled that stuff. We called the radio, and man, people by droves came in to eat. All this food was going to go bad. We just cooking everything. Kenergy finds out what we're doing. They get the power turned on at our church. Promise you. They wouldn't have done it if we didn't feed people. And we're cooking. I mean, there's like baked beans and all kinds of weird stuff that's cooking. See people walking through, they got deer and T-bone and then like beanie weenies with it, you know? I mean, it's just like the weirdest stuff. But they're eating it. It was awesome. And we served when there was no power. And I remember that we met a man by the name of Dave that day. Dave and his wife came to eat with us. And I sit down and I talk to Dave. And I got to know Dave. And all these people that thought they couldn't do anything, we just need to call church off. We fed everybody, hanging out with Dave. We find out Dave is a terminal patient of cancer. We get to know Dave. Hospice is called in shortly after that. Dave gives his life to Jesus. Because of the stuff that was in him, he couldn't come to church every Sunday, but he called me on the phone one day. He had lost so much weight. And he said, Kenny, I feel like I could be baptized today if there's any way. It was like on an afternoon. I said, you got it, bud. We filled that tank up and got as many people as we there that we could. And we dunked Dave as his profession of faith. Dave died shortly after that. But here's the deal. If people didn't serve with their spiritual gifts when the power went out, Dave may have never known Jesus Christ. Well, Kenny, that's pretty awesome, but that was at your last church. What about here? Well, let me tell you about here. There's stuff that's going on here that is mind-blowing for the gospel. Every Sunday, I mean, people are getting here like 7:30 in the morning. Thank you, Jesus, for coffee because we use it. They are hauling boxes. They're all of this, every bit of it, the lights, the drums, the curtains, the soundboards, the mats that the little kids in the nurseries stay on, and all the toys, anything you see, the guest services. You know where that stuff is at 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning? In that trailer out there. Everything. We store nothing. And every Sunday morning, people are coming and serving, using their spiritual gifts. And here you think that only people can preach or as a missionary in Africa can do something for the Lord. And I'm telling you, no. When you have the Spirit of God in your life, you can do amazing things for the Lord. When we baptized those 7 people last Sunday, we saw Sheridan give her life to Jesus. We saw that. Can I tell you something? That's not because of lights and curtains and good preaching or whatever. That's because people love Jesus and are serving the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why. And when you begin to unlock your spiritual gift, you will always point people to Jesus. People will give their hearts to the Lord because you are a shining light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And every stinking one of you should be smiling about that today. That's a good thing. That's a good thing that God can use you. I'm done. But here's the deal. All this is happening because people need Jesus. And if you've never given your life to Jesus, oh, how God has so much for you. I pray it opened up your heart because he died on that cross and he rose again for all to believe. That's why we serve. Today, if you're a Christian and you're not letting God use you, it needs to change. You need to be involved in a church. You need to get active. You need to start serving. You need to start serving to let God use your gifts. Would you pray with me? Father, we love you. We thank you so much for Christ. And God, in this moment now, there is so much potential here, God. Not a single person here is worthless. Not a single person here is lacking purpose. Not a single person here is lacking if they know Jesus. So, Father, I pray that if someone does not know Christ, that they would understand that they need to admit they're a sinner, believe that Jesus died for them, and choose to follow Christ as their Lord and Savior. And Father, today I also pray for the Christian that they won't just sit there, but they'll let God use them. Not just in setup, but Lord, at Walmart, at McDonald's, in their home, in their neighborhood, just serving however you've gifted them. So Father, today I pray that people are encouraged. I pray they're encouraged today and lifted up. We need encouragement a lot, God. So I pray that we'll be encouraged today. Father, if there's someone here that needs to profess their faith in Jesus, I pray you'll give them the courage to come forward, not to be afraid or to be shy. Father, I pray if someone needs to be saved, that they would come. So Father, help us today. We pray in your name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? You're welcome to pray. Our deacons are here to pray with you. If you'd like for one of them to pray with you, for me, you can come to the cross. You do as the Lord lays on your heart today.